So if you'll bow your heads, say, Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
Your plan is unfolding.
Your plan is unfolding.
Give me ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
And my heart to perceive.
And my heart to perceive.
What your spirit
is speaking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go to John, St. John. And we're going to take a peek at chapter 12, actually one verse. Well, it's really two, sorry. I'm going to give you actually three verses.
Do I hear four?
No, you're not going to hear four. You're going to hear three for the moment. 9, 10, and 11. Meanwhile, a crowd, or large crowd, of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 10, so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. So one major miracle threw the whole country upside down. One. The reality of Jesus coming to this little town and bringing one man back to life caused all this. One man named Lazarus. The hierarchy of that day was so upset that they decide to plan his second funeral. Did you ever conceive that somebody wants you dead, and once you've been raised from the dead, they want to kill you again? Could it be that you are that much of an irritation?
Sure, I am.
Huh?
I am an irritation. I don't think anybody wants to be dead. Maybe they do.
Maybe one funeral for you is not enough. And Lazarus is a perfect example. You know, the Jews had so much hatred for Jesus. And now Lazarus is dead and resurrected. And they're going to plan his second death. This time it's going to be murder. We have a young man that went nuts. Use another term if you want, but that's the one I use. And killed 150 people. Just this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Got away with it. And the world is questioning, how could this be? If he was raised from the dead, what would they do? They'd probably try to kill him again. Yet he was totally deranged. There's no doubt about that part. To whatever degree, whatever caused, etc., etc., there seems to be quite a bit of evidence against this young man. Certainly hiding his problem and going forward with what he had planned. Chapter 11, verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus may now lay sick, was the same who was poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister who sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. So it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, I would say, in the eyes of the world, he's now being judged. He doesn't really love them. If he really loved Lazarus, he would have packed up his bag, got his disciples ready, and let's go and visit with him because our friend is sick. That would be logic, correct? Which is better, logic or revelation?
Revelation.
Ah, revelation is a part of your spirit, not your natural mind. Revelation is better than your own understanding and your own thought patterns and your emotional status. Jesus was fully alive in the spirit, and he did not pack his bags. He waited 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, verse 7, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there. Did you know that he was going to be stoned? Most Christians pack their bag at the cross. But in reality, Jesus said, let's go back to Judea. So Judea was a problem. Amen? Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you. Yet you are going back there. Where's his reasoning? Where's his wisdom? Where's your reasoning? Where's your wisdom when you obey the Lord and not your emotions? When you cry out to God in the midst of a crisis and you say, I don't know what to do, and you panic, and then you kind of resound to the idea, well, maybe God's got a better plan. Maybe he's got something up his sleeve. But he's waiting for you to open your mouth and cry out to him. Come on, I should hear an amen.
Amen.
Jesus answered, verse 9, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus has been speaking of his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad. Now, here we go. Where's your light? Where's your light? Is your light in the natural only, or is it when you're totally surrounded by darkness? And you have no way out. And you cry out to the one who is the light. Enlighten me, Lord. What are you trying to tell me? And I love this. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad. I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Now watch verse 16, because it's very important. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, we may die with him. Oh, isn't he wonderful? If one is dead, we're all going to join him in his grave. Isn't that the incredible Thomas? He's the same guy, by the way, who couldn't believe that Jesus rose. He couldn't believe. Why? Was he stuck? Yes! Now, I don't want to dwell too much on Thomas, but I'm trying to tell you that there's a little bit of Thomas in all of us. Amen. When we've had enough pain and we've had enough of suffering, we want to just get out and book out.
Amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Just, I want to get it over with. You know, beam me up, Scotty. Oh, guys, you guys are getting old. Hallelujah. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. So her confidence is in his ability. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but it was still the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out and followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have only listened to me, we would have never had this problem. Does that sound like a controlling person? Yeah. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. I want you to kind of make a circle around the word troubled, because to me that identifies the soul of the Lord, the mind, will, and emotions. Because he's weeping, but she's weeping, and the coordinates to me manifest that our Savior is not a happy camper right now. Because of her hurt, he picks up on it. I want you to close your eyes right now and put one hand over your heart. Say, whenever I get into a place that my heart is crying, my Savior is aware. He is troubled, and he knows what I need more than what I understand. This is proof. He's on my case. And I can rest with his plan. Will unfold. If I choose to trust. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. The next verse is important. 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why? He's aware. He's conscious. He's picking up on their grief. He's picking up on their hurt. He's picking up on how much they are in pain. And he is weeping with them. Those of you who think he has no emotions, I got news for you. He wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. So the emotions confirmed his love. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Judgment, criticalness, fault finding, right on the job. Amen? That could have been me, and it could have been you. 38, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, if you have an if in your Bible, it should have a circle around it. If you believe. If you believe will make the future either bright or dark. If you believe that our God is on the job for your child or your father, mother, brother, sister, whomever is in a dysfunctional place, he's able to do something if you believe. What about if you don't believe? Well, God, I need to believe. I need your help to believe because I ain't got it in me. There were times I said to the Lord, help my unbelief. I haven't got it. It's not there. I have a lack. Can anybody relate?
Amen.
The problem is too big. My brain just wants to tilt. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. If he makes this comment, you will see the glory of God. Did he see it back when verse 14 says, Lazarus is dead and for your sake I'm glad? Did he have a vision at that point? Did he have a vision when he said, let's wait 2 more days? What about if he didn't have a vision? He would have had to trust his emotions. Why does God send his Holy Ghost in us? So that we can trust the revelation by the Holy Ghost as we go forward. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, we need him. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 41, so he took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. I think I'm related. I have a loud voice. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. How are you going to come out of your death and the grave clothes that are on you and me? Can you remove them yourself?
No.
Why is the church important? Because it's the people in the church that are going to unwrap the death clothing that's on you and me. Prayer, intercession, anointing with oil, all those things that we do in the house of prayer. And I'm not advertising we're the only prayer or house of prayer. But I am saying that if you don't have the saints around you to take off those grave clothes on a regular basis, you're going to continue to go back into death. You'll walk with bondage. There are times people say, oh, we don't need to be in church twice a week. Well, I'll tell you, there was a season in my life twice a week wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I had that much grave clothes on me. And I needed the others to get me unwound or unwrap me from that which was trying to kill me and destroy me. Has anything changed?
No.
No. You know, I'm not saying you should make a decision on flesh, but you can certainly ask the Holy Ghost to make a way where there is no way, so that when it is time for you to remove some of those grave clothes, you can't do it on your own. You're going to need the ones that are around you in the house of God to pray and intercede for you and to pull that garbage off of you. 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So you've got two kinds. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin, which would be the high courts. What are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Who are they focused on?
Self,
exactly. And their position. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for that one man to die for the people than the whole nation to perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So that day on, they plotted to take his life. 53 is important. From that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. And when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many of them went up from that country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before Passover. They kept looking for Jesus. And as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so that they might arrest him. We're in that prepared space for the Passover, which will be starting this coming Friday. If you didn't get a schedule there, put one in your pocket. Ask the Holy Spirit about what you're supposed to do and when. Only those that are oppressed of God should be here. I'm not saying this is compulsory. That is not where I'm at. But if Jesus went to the feast, that should give you an example. If he made sure that he went, we as individuals are called to go a little higher. And so be obedient to the Lord. Spread the word. Give yourself an opportunity to grow and mature. I don't know what he's going to do during this feast. I know for me, it's always an exciting time because I know he's going to do something special. And I'm certainly looking forward to Doug coming in from North Carolina. And from our friend Ron from Canada, who, by the way, said a big hug to each of you. And stay focused on what he's looking for. In case you forgot, you're also a threat to the darkness. Close your eyes right now. Say, the light of Christ.
The light of Christ.
The presence of the Holy Ghost.
The presence of the Holy Ghost.
Inside of me.
Inside of me.
Puts the enemy on
alert.
He'd like to kill me too.
He'd like to kill me too.
But he's got news coming.
He's got news coming.
Resurrection power. Is coming out of my mouth.
It's coming out of my mouth.
And I'm coming out of the grave.
And I'm coming out of the grave.
And those grave clothes.
And those
During this Passover season, will be coming off of me.
Because
the saints of the Most High
will be interceding for me
and praying for me.
And I will come free
in a brand new way
because he loves me.
Thank you, Jesus,
for being the Lord of the feast.
Amen.